Welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors, where each episode we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are looking at one of the worst films ever made, Birdemic, directed by James Nguyen. Returning on the show today to talk about Birdemic is Professor Marie Westhaver. Professor Westhaver, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so this show came about when we were talking about The Birds. And when I talked about The Birds, I brought up this movie at the end and how awful it is. And I remember showing you a couple clips on YouTube of it. And you're like, this has got to be a joke. And then I was like, okay, we have to talk about this now. You know, you look on YouTube, one of the popular things are reaction videos. And I would have just loved to have seen your original reaction when watching this movie, just because it is so bad.
It is so bad. It actually, I want to say one good thing about it. The opening, where they have the music, it actually sounds sort of Hitchcockian. So when it started, I thought, well, maybe it won't be this bad. Maybe it won't be that bad. And then all of a sudden, the camera like goes sort of canted, and it goes on forever. Forever. But I have to tell you, this movie actually has finally unseated, in my house, the worst movie of all time, which has been held for years by Vin Diesel's Triple X.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, we thought that was just the worst movie ever. And whenever we would see a bad movie, you know, Charlie's Angels or something like that, we're like, well, that was bad, but it wasn't as bad as Triple X. But Triple X at least had production value.
Yeah, and that's what you're saying. Like, even that beginning where it's just, like, half of this movie, it seems like, is just him driving in his car going to places.
Doing nothing. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, in the beginning, they have, like, this long list of credits that comes up that goes on forever. Most of it's fake, I read.
Yeah, I read that, too.
Yes, because he wanted to make it look like it was more professional.
Yeah, and even there's type, like, even he doesn't even get the simple act of the credits right, because it says supporting casts. So it's like, what, there's a whole bunch of different, like, casts in this movie?
Yes. Yeah, very funny. And, by the way, this movie got a 1.8 on IMDb.
I believe it's one of the bottom 100.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think what is bad about this movie is some people might say, well, it's not perfect, but, you know, they at least tried. I don't think they tried. I think the film is extremely lazy. Like, honestly, like, you and I say, hey, let's make a movie that's something like The Birds and something with a global warming message. You and I could do something, just randomly pick a bunch of people in walking around the quad right now, and we could probably do a movie that is, at the absolute worst, no worse than this movie. I think it's extremely lazy. Right off from the bat, once he gets out and he goes to the restaurant and it's the woman who greets him, the audio is terrible.
Well, not only that, but the shot is like up her nose.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's like a midget with a camcorder. Yeah,
that's awful. That sequence where he's watching the news on the TV and the woman's shot from like the torso up and like all the stuff is on a TV in the background. They're so lazy they can't even get rid of the Getty Images watermark that's on that video with the racing.
Oh, and not to mention just the bad CGI. You know, they come across this CGI, obvious CGI bird on the beach. I mean, there's so many things about it that are just so poor.
And I think just this stuff could have been fixed. Even if you're like, well, I don't know how to get rid of the Getty Images watermark on that video, or that audio, her recording was just, it's hard to go over. There are ways you can Google it. You can look it up. You take the time. You can do it. If you really cared about making a good movie, you could have done this. Well, it's still insanely watchable. It is extremely lazy. And people say, well, they tried their best. They really didn't.
They didn't. I mean, there's just so many funny stories about what went into this. Like the main actress had an audition in a high school parking lot. I mean, the whole movie feels like that. Like, really cut rate to the point of, you think it's meant to be funny, but it's not.
And just even the part where they're pulling over on the road, and it's like, it's the apocalypse is happening, the birds are hitting everywhere, and they pull over to the road, and there's, you know, there's the dead people in the car, and clearly on the traffic, you can see it's just like a regular day, just cars going by, a lot of cars going by and forth. It's like, wow, the apocalypse is still not disrupting traffic.
And that scene, by the way, I mean, they kept coming across people in cars with the windows down who'd apparently been driving along. The birds started to attack, so they pulled over and rolled down the windows.
Yes. And just, like, even there's other, like, the regular traffic. Like, if you notice, like, when they're having the picnic scene, when they're eating at the picnic, you can see birds in the background, like, actual
birds.
And, like, wow, those birds must have missed the whole memo. And just the part that always gets me laughing is when the birds are attacking, they sound like dive-bombing airplanes.
Yeah, the one other thing I thought was really lazy, to use your word, was the PowerPoint presentation that the guy gives and makes $1 million on. Mm-hmm. It is like the worst slide. It's just like black text, no graphics, just so cut rate. Nobody investing that kind of money would even take it seriously. But my favorite part was the giving van. They open up the back of the van. Oh, look, a fishing pole and a stove.
And that's what we got to get to. If there's a performance in this movie that's awful, it's Rod.
Oh, my God, the worst. Like, he's like a plank.
Don't quit your day job, bro.
No.
Like, you better have a day job because, oh, my God. Like, that's the worst acting. This is the worst. I'm trying to think of, like, actors in big movies I've seen that are just awful. And even the ones nothing's coming to mind, but even the ones that I do think of, I don't think come close to how bad this is. I mean, his delivery is just like, he's like a child. Like,
yes.
Hey, look, a fishing rod. I can go fish.
Yes.
Like, hey, look, there's an old guy on that bridge.
Yeah, but more like, hey, there's an old guy, really stilted. Yeah, he's not helped at all by the sound, which mm-hmm. is constantly cutting in and out. And you can tell, you can see every single cut. You can see he's talking to her and she walks away. And then the sound and the lighting changes. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it's like, then they said action because then he starts walking.
It's like even the scene when he first meets her in the restaurant, it's so creepy. It's supposed to be this little cute romance. Like he stares at her in the restaurant. She leaves. He follows her. Yeah, he doesn't talk to her. He follows her. Then he runs after her.
Uh-huh.
And that's
stalkery.
Yeah, it's supposed to be romantic. And there's even that scene when, you know, they have a little talk. She says, oh, I gotta go. I'll see you later. And she walks. And you see him, like, looking at it. That looks like something from a horror movie, like Halloween.
It's supposed to be romantic. There's a lot of really extended walk-away shots, mm-hmm. too. From many
just
characters.
Lots of shots of people walking in this movie. Just like the even worse than that beginning scene is the scene when he's going to work for the first time. And we follow him in his car. He goes this place. Then he's in the highway. And then he's in this place. And then we watch him park the car. And we watch him get out of the car and walk into the building. Then we see him walk into the building heading to his office.
Then we watch him play basketball with his friend for what seems like a half an hour.
Even that scene's extremely awkward because you can tell that they've never played basketball before because they're just like dribbling and staying in the same position. And then like, okay, let's go over to this place. And then they just sit there and talk.
Yeah. And who follows somebody and then says, hey, let's keep in touch.
Yes.
And then exchange cards. And then when he asks her out on the phone, he says, you know, I know this great Vietnamese restaurant, and he doesn't tell her the name of it, where it is, or anything. And she says, great, you know, I'll see you. See you later.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It must be a really good
place.
Must
be only one place.
Yeah, it's only one good Vietnamese place, I guess, there. And what I think makes this movie so good, I mean, it's so insanely watchable, is that they're completely unaware. If this was done like, you know, like a Sharknado, tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, like Sharknado. Or Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane, where they know it's bad, but they're aware of it. I think I don't like those movies. Just it's because they're not, you know, they're not taking it too seriously. And it just doesn't, you know, with this, they believe everything. They think this is a serious anti-war movie about this guy wanted to make a movie that was anti-war movie like Apocalypse Now, and also wanted to make this, after seeing Inconvenient Truth, he wanted to make it a serious message about global warming, and he also obviously wanted to throw in a little Hitchcock with the birds. And he was serious. He thought this movie was going to be great. And I think it's just, that's why it's so, when people are just that delusional, I think that's what when these bad movies are so bad, that's what really sets it above the rest.
You know, that was the thing that I found the most upsetting, really, when I read about and looked at some of the interviews with the director, is that he still doesn't think it's bad. He made a sequel and he wants to make a third one. And people were encouraging, well, you know, if you thought about doing short films or, you know, another genre, it's like, no, man, Birdemic's way to go. Mm-hmm. And he's really unaware of how bad it is.
It's very, have you ever seen The Room?
No, but I've heard all about it.
Yes, The Room is in this level too of so bad it's good. We could do that sometime because they're actually making a movie about it with James Franco called The Disaster Artist.
Now, see, he would be the guy to do it.
And he's doing Tommy Wiseau, the main guy. But that guy was extremely delusional. Like, he actually wanted to make sure this film ran for 2 weeks in the theater, because for a movie to be considered for an Academy Award for Best mm-hmm. Picture, it has to run for at least 2 weeks. and you see that film isn't getting any awards except for like worst movie ever made. But he thought that film, he still thinks that film's like Oscar worthy material. And that's what I'm just, that's why I love, even though you might feel a little bit bad laughing at how bad it is, you still just love it when they're completely unaware.
You know, the film, as far as how bad the acting is, would be so much easier to take if the sound wasn't so bad, because the actors are very stilted, but it doesn't help that the sound is so terrible. And by the way, I think the actress is slightly less bad than the hapless guy playing Rod.
Yeah, she looks like she's like Katharine Hepburn compared to, you know, him. It's just,
she's a nice Tippi Hedren-esque character.
Yeah. And even that, even like, we got to talk a bit about the story elements in the movie, because A, they're all like at the, you know, like she's the head cover girl at Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
He's like made like these huge acquisitions for millions and billions of dollars. Why are they staying in this small town? Shouldn't they be getting this huge mansion by now?
Or, you know that there's a attack, birds attacking. Why would you go to the beach? And let's go to an open space.
Yes. And why would you pull over every 2 seconds to keep getting food?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. And then the scene where they find the kids, you know, and the little girl's hiding under the car because, you know, they killed my mom, and they rescue her. And then they make this fish from, you know, the giving van. And then they try to serve it to the kids. They're like, we want Happy Meals.
Yeah. And those kids are also terrible actors. I mean, I know it's not considered right to bash on kids' acting performances, but they're awful.
They're awful.
And, like, you know, it's so funny that...
But they have an excuse.
Yeah, they're kids, but it's like... The kids are all upset because their parents are dead. And then, like, one scene later, they're completely over it. And they're playing, like, a game on a PSP controller. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes. Oh, and what was the deal with everybody who was attacked by the birds had a slash on their face? You know, even when you saw the one guy, he's walking down the road and the bird comes up and slashes his throat and falls down dead. And he's still got the slash on his cheek. What is that?
I think probably just... not having enough money for makeup, they just like, we'll just put it on your face.
But everybody.
I know.
And how come sometimes the birds would hit things and explode? And why? How would they explode into a ball of fire? But other times they just hung there. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Literally, they were like a screensaver.
Yeah, that's what I'll get into next, is the special effects in this movie. It is just like, once again, you and I, if we're like, okay, well, we don't have any money for, you know, we don't have any prop birds. Let's do something, you know, digital. We could do something better than that. There's probably some software or something where you can get something that looks better than the birds they have in this movie. This looks like something from like a 90s GIF, you know, like that dancing baby they had on the Ally McBeal show in the 90s.
Yes. That was quality compared to
this. That's quality compared. This looks, it's that bad. It's, oh my God.
Well, you know, this guy spent $10,000 on this movie. I don't know where it went, but it took him 4 years and... The craft services were provided by 7-Eleven. I mean, you can't get more shoestring.
And I even remember that he had no permits. I was reading, he had no permits. And then when he was filming, like, the, you know, the scene, which is hilarious, at the, you know, they're in the forest. He filmed that at a park.
The fake Woody Harrelson with the obvious wig?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that's at a park, actual park somewhere. And every time they're trying to shoot it, joggers would be coming by because they're in a popular jogging path. And you would scream at the joggers to get out of the way that they're ruining the shot. It's like, you're the one filming in a public place with no permit. It's your fault.
Yeah, very funny. I mean, funny and it is sort of entertaining.
Oh, definitely. This is like if you had to define what a so bad it's good movie is, this is perfect. It's horrible acting. So many mistakes you can't even count. You stop counting after like the first 30 minutes. Silly storyline that makes no sense. It's perfect in every way for it to be horrible.
You know, one other good thing I'll say about the movie is that the actress, apparently, the makeup artist walked off the set. So she ended up doing everyone's makeup. The makeup's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. You can't complain about
that
too much.
There's nothing bad about the makeup. But talk about trying to do everything to get the movie done. But everything looks worse than what you might expect from like a amateur. I mean, even the scenes in parking lots, it's so obvious it's an empty parking lot, you know, because it's just that one car there. Everything seems totally not thought out and fake.
Yeah. And even like one of the worst ones is when they're at the bar And the guy singing that Hanging Out with the Family song.
Oh, yes.
Where if you listen to the lyrics, it sounds a little bit incestuous.
And the way they're dancing is totally weird, too.
Anyway, he's singing, and then they're obviously just playing the actual track from the song and have him lip sync it. But there's instruments being played, and there's like backing singers, and it's just this one guy singing with nothing else. I'm just like, is his voice really that good?
It can provide backing vocals includes an orchestra. Yeah. What did you think of the coat hangers?
That scene is great. I think when I first discovered this film about 5 years ago, somebody probably I just did it to you. Somebody was like, man, you got to check out this movie, Birdemic. It's awful. And so I looked at it on YouTube. I probably even watched the same video you did. And it was that scene with the birds are flying, in the same position like this. And they're just swinging at it with coat hangers. And I'm like, oh, I got to see this movie.
But, they aren't even really swinging at the birds with the coat hangers.
No.
They're kind of swinging at the air. Mm-hmm. That scene does not work at all. And why would a coat hanger work? And why would you hit them if they could explode?
The birds, and another scene what's hilarious is when they're in the van, they're shooting at the birds that are attacking the people on the bus, and they're shooting in the direction of the bus. There's going to be some crossfire that gets people killed,
The other thing was, when I was thinking about the movie The Birds, every time they showed a gas station and it didn't blow up, I was kind of, I felt gypped. Yeah, I was like, wait, that's a perfect opportunity there to actually use that ball of fire you're dying to use with the exploding birds.
Every time they got to the gas station, it got so boring because they would show them, they would go in, they spend a whole couple shots on the woman deciding what kind of sandwiches to pick up. She's like looking, she looks again, shot to the sandwiches, she shot back to her, she goes around, picks up the sandwiches, and I'm like, we don't need all that.
Yes. Yes. And every shot is held for way too long.
Way too long.
If you took out all of the filler, you could take out the whole beginning of how not to ask somebody out or stalk somebody, the film would have been much shorter.
It would be like 20 minutes.
It takes like 45 minutes for the birds to show up.
Yeah, like halfway through the movie, which is so funny because out of nowhere it happens. It's like shot of, landscape shots, and boom, explosions, fire, apocalypse, and just like, where did that happen?
Yeah, where did that come from? There's no police, there's nobody except these people fighting it off. Mm-hmm. Why are we supposed to think they're so brave anyway? Yeah. Why didn't they pull over, roll down the windows, and let the birds have at them too?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I laugh is the character that's the model character, and it's like, how did she get the Victoria's Secret cover model? Because we see at the beginning she's literally taking modeling shots at like this 1 hour photo joint.
Yes.
I'm like, how are you able to do that? That's not how that happens
because she has that obvious great agent who's just a person sitting in a room with a desk and a phone.
At least we don't have to see her from the torso up like the newscast lady.
Yeah, not even the torso, it's like half a torso.
Yes. And, I was just reading about this guy, James Nguyen, the director, and it's one of these things where it makes sense because this is a part-time thing for him. He's a Vietnamese immigrant, so Vietnamese restaurant makes sense. That's why we see, the pointless panning shot of the painting in the Vietnamese restaurant that goes on. Like, we don't need to see that.
There's all kinds of pointless pans.
Yeah.
There's a drinking game in there somewhere. Yeah.
And he's actually a software salesman. That's his main job. And I guess he's good at it. I hope he is, because he ain't going to do it in here. But
see, but doesn't that just sort of make you wonder, if you can sell software, can't you buy any? Like Adobe Premiere or something?
Yeah, this was made in 2010. So obviously there are things that have changed in software and technology. But still, you could do something better than that.
Yes, and maybe take a filmmaking class. Mm-hmm. So you learn about, dubbing things in later so your sound isn't that bad. And
that's the thing. He didn't get into film until he was 33 years old. He said, I was reading the biography, he didn't touch a camera until he was 33. So that makes a lot of sense that here's a guy who really didn't even start thinking about filmmaking until he was in his 30s. Makes sense that, dives right into it without thinking things through,
Except I don't know that I'd give him a pass on that, because if you're thinking, he's starting maybe 10 years later than everybody else, he's had 10 more years of seeing movies to know what's considered you know, state of the art. And you don't even have to make a state of the art movie, but this doesn't even come close.
Yeah, and this is even in his first film. Like we talked about earlier, the cameo from Tippi Hedren in the movie when it's just really a TV playing in the background. When I first saw it, I just assumed it was the birds because, you know, we briefly see her. She's like talking to a bird in the cage or something. That's actually from a movie. It was called Julian Jack, and this was directed by Nguyen. And first of all, I'm thinking, Tippi Hedren got, you know, said yes to that movie? But so this guy's done movies before. He's done it with an actress who's done classic work. And it's like, you should have revolved in some way. Hedren must have said, hey, you know, in my other films I've done, we do this, we do that. You don't really do this. He just didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I also didn't think that the environmental message came across because the birds didn't seem to be, you know, aware of an Inconvenient Truth or Al Gore.
Yeah,
and I think that's also an unusual date to go on to.
Yeah, it's the message in this movie is the most ham-fisted you could possibly get. I mean, even from the part, or along the part when we get the shot of the guy's friend and his girlfriend, and there's the pick poster in the background, Imagine Peace.
Mm-hmm. And the music comes on for John Lennon's song very briefly.
Yeah. And then when they go on the double date and they go, wow, that was a great movie. An Inconvenient Truth. And then the guy goes, that's it. I'm getting myself a car that's environmentally friendly. And it's just like, get it, audience? Global warming?
Oh, and I loved, you know, the guy with the Mustang that was the hybrid.
Yes. I'm no heavy car expert, but I don't think hybrid Mustangs exist.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. The car that the character of Rod was driving around, by the way, was a rental car.
Right.
Everything's just so low
cheap.
Budget.
Yeah. And it, like you said, would you recommend this movie as a so bad you have to watch it? Because it is insanely watchable, but there are so many parts of this movie, like we talked about, that just put you to sleep. Like the first 4 minutes when it's just him driving in a car and there's nothing else. Parts that, you know, where people are just walking. The whole first half is incredibly dull. Do you think it's watchable, or do you think that people might get turned off by just how dull and monotonous it becomes?
Well, you know, it is great as a bad movie. I mean, when I mentioned it in my class, there were people who knew all about it. And the way that I would use it in class would be, there's lots of things about movies we sort of just take for granted. So it would be great to show a clip from this movie and say, this is what sound sounds like if you don't have an expert. And this it's not easy to do. It's not easy to match either, because a lot of times you can tell where the cut is because, you know, like in the previous scene, the person would be talking like this. And when it comes back, it's all of a sudden it's all different and it's awkward. And you really need to know what you're doing. So it's a good way to point out things. And then just, of course, the birds themselves are just so hilarious that you have to show it to say,
you can do better than this. Like, you could show this to a group of aspiring filmmakers. Like, if this can get made, no excuse for you.
And actually, I had two students ask me after class last week about whether we have opportunities for student filmmaking. And I said, actually, there's a contest or a festival that we have. So you should definitely think about entering whatever you've got. And the girl said, I don't know, I did it in high school and it wasn't that good. And I'm thinking, if I show this, I can say, look, this actually was, you know, produced.
For $10,000.
And lots of people have seen it. So if it's better than this, you should at least give it a shot.
$10,000, and maybe like you probably have a couple of bucks, you can probably do better than that.
You can do better than this.
And talking about the stuff that does better than this with less amount of money, a film I talked about with a daughter earlier was called Who Killed Captain Alex? It's a film from Uganda. This is shot on an even cheaper budget for $200. And we talk about how this film is incredibly lazy. Who Killed Captain Alex is not lazy at all. Like, those guys work their butts off. It's a goofy movie. There's a lot of holes we could pick apart all day. But it's a very enjoyable movie. I think a lot of it's actually very fun. It's a pretty good movie, actually. Not even a so bad it's good movie. I think that's sort of insulting to it. It's extremely enjoyable because of the heart that's put into it, and they do everything they have. Like, it's a $200 movie, but it never feels cheap or bad in any way whatsoever, which is unlike this movie, which has a lot bigger budget, $9,800 more, and it's just so much more lazy and so much more people that just don't care.
I think you can make a movie without a lot of money. I mean, there's all those stories about movies like El Mariachi that were funded with people's credit mm-hmm. cards, or Zhang Yimou sold his own blood to finance his movies. And, you know, you can get better production values. You just have to not do it all yourself if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Thing is, if you want to make a movie, great, but you got to learn this basic stuff, like how to properly edit, how sound works, how lighting works.
How a script works.
How a script works. Getting solid acting performances, not just going with whatever they say the first time and saying that's good. And just, you know, and even like the acting, like the main guy, like even like not his acting, but just how he moved, like you said, was awkward. Like even the when he's first walking into the restaurant, he's walking really awkwardly.
Yes.
Like this. And it seems like he's, you know, like he was telling not to look at the camera. So he's like looking out in space like this. And like, that's not how people walk. That just, he looks like a robot.
Now they say that the character, his name is Rod, is named for Rod Taylor in The Birds. Mm-hmm. And that the director modeled the character on himself.
Must not be a very interesting person.
Must not be good at social interactions mm-hmm. either.
Are there any other kind of so bad it's good movies that you've seen that you really like? I could recommend a couple, but I'll let you go first.
I think the top two would be, in my book, would be Plan 9 from Outer Space mm-hmm. and Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I haven't seen that one, but I know that. But I've seen Plan 9 from Outer Space. I'd recommend anything by Ed Wood. Just insanely watchable. It's really bad.
But Ed Wood was in on the joke.
Was he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he knew that his stuff was not mm-hmm. quality.
I guess I'm thinking of the movie where it seems like he's a little bit unaware of how bad it is.
I think he reveled in it. I kind of see him as filmmaking's Robert Crumb. Like, mm-hmm. you know you're pitching low, mm-hmm. and you kind of go with it.
Or Roger Corman.
Or Roger Corman.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I just think of the movie and just how, you know, when Johnny Depp, so like everybody's like, do you know anything about filmmaking? And he's just completely unaware of how bad his movie is. Yeah, but other ones I have, like The Room, I've talked about, like you would have to watch that at some time just because that film, it may be even worse, as bad as this film, it may be even worse than Birdemic. And another one I'd probably say is even worse than The Room and Birdemic, definitely, is Double Down. I think a similar guy named Neil Breen, I think he's like a software salesman in real life, and he makes these vanity project movies, and just like, you can at least follow along this movie. You can at least know what's going on in the story. I would give you $100 if you could tell me the plot of Double Down. It's like he's a cyber terrorist / CIA agent / chemical terrorist who unleashes anthrax. It's bad, and like half the movie is nothing but stock footage. Like we might be able to talk about that one day because it's bafflingly bad. Like, you talked about how this is the worst movie you've ever seen. You could watch this and it'll probably unseat it. But that's one I would recommend too.
That's a sobering thought.
All right, then last question I'll have is, you talked about earlier, are you going to bring this film into your class? And
well, you know, I already covered sound and intro to film, but I might have to. I might just have to show it for an example of what not to do. Mm-hmm. And to encourage students, because everybody thinks their own ideas aren't that good. But with like this director, you would not remake this movie with better production quality, because why? Mm-hmm. You know, the story is weak.
Yeah,
it falls down in so many ways. So it's a great example to show students to say, look, you can probably make a movie.
And I would have to talk a little bit about other thing is, I highly recommend anybody watching there, watch the version with riff tracks. They're the Mystery Science Theater 3000
people. Oh, I love those guys.
They tore this movie to shreds. Like even the, hey, look, a fishing rod. And then like they were making fun of, like, hey.
And a stove.
Yeah. And then so they go, hey, my name's Rad too. Let's be friends. they totally rip apart that guy's acting. And like anytime they're, because the title is Birdemic Shock and Terror. So anytime there's some mundane scene where they're driving around, or they're pulling over, they're going to the picking up food, they just yell, shock and terror. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been talking about one of the worst films ever made, Birdemic. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Tuesday at 7, Saturday at 1, or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com under the category Armchair Directors. Professor Westhave, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, but no thanks to the movie.
No thanks for The Armchair Directors. I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying, that's it. I'm getting myself a car that's environmentally friendly.